Morning. This is going to be interesting. I've had nothing but technical difficulties all week with this new setup. So if all else fails, I've got it on paper. This is not one of my original lessons. This is a lesson that I got from my brother Stephen. It's got a lot of really good points in it. And I think it's something that everyone here needs to hear. And basically all we're going to be doing is breaking this scripture apart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In context, we see in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, that Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus in verse 1. He was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, probably of the Sanhedrin. He was a teacher of Israel, verse 10, and was cautiously interested in Jesus, we see in verse 2, by night. He seems sincere, but at the same time struggles with confidence. He is an example of the scriptures that relates to his own struggles with being too timid. To his credit, he defends Jesus when others are bent on his destruction, found in John chapter 7, verses 45 through 53. And after the crucifixion, it is said that he brought 100 pounds of burial spice in John chapter 19, verses 39 and 40. Nicodemus and men, the need for men to develop into real men. Things we can learn that who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who puts character above wealth, who possesses an opinion and will, who does not hesitate to take. Who possesses opinion and wills, who are larger than their vocations, who does not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be as honest in small things as in great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say, do it because everybody else is doing it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as in prosperity, who do not believe that the shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are best qualities for winning success, who are not ashamed, afraid to stand for the truth when it is unpopular, who can say no with emphasis, although all the rest of the world is saying yes. So, in context, we see that he believed that Jesus was a teacher and from God by the signs, found in verse 2 and also in chapter 2 and verse 23. He was not born again, as he could not understand this concept in verse 4. It it states, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered in verse 5 and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Jesus ends his discussion with Nicodemus with this warning. He clearly shows that the light has come into the world. After almost 400 years of silence, with no men raised up as prophets, and then comes John the Baptizer proclaiming that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus, unlike John, went around performing miracles and working signs for men to believe his testimony, but they would not believe those things done on earth. Those religious deeds that could be viewed and analyzed in verses 11 and 12. Now Jesus warns that those who love darkness shrink away from him, the light. They want as little of Jesus as possible, because light exposes their evil. However, those who love the truth will come to the light and compare their deeds with God to see that if they agree and are approved. We also see in John that there are 7 golden themes. The first theme is God. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. God is the greatest and the grandest of all beings. We see this countless times through Scripture. If we open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 15, it says, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Going back a couple chapters to 4, verse 31, it says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. Verse 24, it says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, jealous God. Chapter 10, verse 17, it says, for the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. Chapter 33 and verse 27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy before you. He will say, destroy. Going to Psalms chapter 84 and verse 11, it says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Progressing to chapter 99 and verse 9, it says, for the Lord our God is holy. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 14, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, God is spirit. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. In 1 John 1:5, it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And 1 John 4:8, God is love. Which brings us to our next point. God so loved the world. And we have known and believed the love that has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. 1 John 4:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Yes, the one we worship is of love. Sometimes we attribute this realm of emotion to humanity, but in reality, love is divine of origin. Love is is something that is given for us to abide in. Love, therefore, is not passive, but active. It has boundaries and limitations. When John says, God is love, and when Paul defines love in 1 Corinthians 13, we see the definition of God. There's a gift that's spoken of in John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave. God loves, gives because love is giving. Love is certainly not selfish, but rather sacrificial. This is why parents who love their children will give them their life. God's love is no different. In this case, he gave his son. Jesus once posed a question. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8:37. Men are foolish, often giving and selling things, selling out their soul. The Lord implicates this when he said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? One who gains nothing if they lose their soul. But notice what God has given for your soul. He gave his own son. One of the other golden themes of John 3:16 is the scope of the invitation, whosoever. This invitation is for all. There are no limits. It matters not how rich or poor, where you live, who you know. This invitation is for all. Nicodemus, as prominent as he was, needed to heed this invitation. He who desires all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. This invitation is not intended for some presidential inauguration, but salvation. It is not an invitation to a party or retreat, but that which the soul needs, salvation. It is an invitation to evade hell. Are you interested? God desires all to be saved. Yes, it may be hard for you to believe, but even that brother-in-law or neighbor of yours, God also desires to be saved. We find faith. The greatest faith of all is mentioned here. The faith of Islam and other religions certainly takes greater faith to actually believe, because those religions are inferior and based upon works of men. Christianity is a religion unlike any other religion. It is based upon what its founder taught and did, not just taught, but what he did, found in Acts 1:1. Further, all other religions fail in comparison to the amount of quality and testimony that exists in Christ. Unfortunately, false teachers have taken the faith in this passage to endorse their own doctrine of faith alone. Faith alone is not in this verse. Faith used here is for believing and obeying by submitting to his Son. Faith requires to be born of the Spirit, John 3 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 4 and 15, to receive. Verse 11, believe. Verse 12, deeds of destruction. And verse 21, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. We also find punishment. This verse speaks of the greatest punishment in which man can ever be punished. There is no punishment that is greater. A man can beat you up until he takes your physical life, but that is better than undergoing this punishment. The God that we worship will destroy people. He can and will cast them into hell. No amount of academic juggling, debating, will change the fact. He is a God of love, but he is also has within him the power and will to throw men into hell fit for the devil and his angels. And he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, found in Matthew 25, verse 41. This also gives added weight to salvation that is worked in Christ. One reason it is so great is because it spares men from the flames of hell. And we find a reward mentioned as well. That reward is eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is in the balance of our life's decisions. Are we working for or against it? Please take a careful note of Jude verses 20 and 21. And the term mercy. This gives me one more reason why the reward is so great. It is given in mercy, and which suggests in no uncertain terms that our unworthiness is having eternal life. Verse 20 and 21 state, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Salvation is so great because we are so unworthy of it. This reward is extended to you today to lay hold of. Please respond accordingly. Revelations 22:12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. What will your reward be? If there's anyone here, the prayers of the congregation, needs to get anything off their chest, just needs to talk, please come forward as we stand and sing.